Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Oh, you're very alert this morning. Glad to hear that. I must admit that when I was growing up in church, when they mentioned the word retreat, I never really liked it because I said, why should we retreat? We should be moving forward. Retreat is kind of going back, right? But then later on, I understand why we need retreat. Retreat is a time for us to renew, review, recuperate, and recommit, right? And I think that's very important because not too long ago we realized that in America there has been many occasions of sinkhole. You know what those are, sinkhole? Where all of a sudden the house just collapsed and the person, you know, went down very deep. Yeah. And it happened in the golf course too. And people who have kind of made study of that, they discovered that the reason for those sinkholes is because there used to be water running underneath. And when it is dry season, there's hardly any rain, then all of a sudden there's a hole there, and then when there's weight on top, then it sinks. Okay? Now, this morning in our retreat, I kind of like to ask you this question. Do you have a seeking heart? Or do you have a sinking heart? Okay, I'll say it again. Do you have a seeking heart that is seeking after the Lord? Or is it dry inside so that everything seems to be collapsing? Okay? So, I'll admit, sometimes when I serve, after a while I ask myself, why am I serving? Because I've got to do it. Okay? When that happens, it's just responsibility. Watch out. You have a dry heart. And things will start to sink. Okay? So I hope I'm not better than you are. I have to examine myself. I need time away, just like you do, so that I can renew myself in the Lord. So that there's something fresh to give to others, and that it will be glorified to God. So let me start with this thought. I remember years ago, was I was in college, that's a long time ago. My cousin came from New York. She was giving a piano concert in Manila, and one of the events was at our church. So one of the first things she did was to come to our church, and with a beautiful grand piano, a Yamaha, right, spanking brand new. This is more satin. The one we have is glossy. Okay, can you imagine? Brand new, very nice. And she was practicing on it. First thing she did was practice on it. She checked out the piano, make sure the pitch, everything was right. And then she stopped, and I said, how come? That's strange. She hasn't finished the piece yet. How come she stopped? And she opened up the cover of the piano, and she was looking back and forth across the whole piano. So what is she looking for? Somebody stepped aside and stepped next to her and said, what's wrong? She said, well, there's a dissonance coming from the piano. And the person standing next to the piano said, that's impossible. This is practically a brand new piano. And besides, when they moved the piano to the church, then a technician who came in to tune it to factory standard. But anyway, that didn't stop her from looking at it, really scrutinizing the piano. And then finally she said, aha. I said, what is this? She reached down and pulled up a black object, and at a closer scrutinizing, it was a hairpin. It was a hairpin. It was that hairpin sitting on top of two strings, and it caused dissonance. I said, wow, a trained ear can really distinguish those kind of sound. When I've been sitting there for Sundays, I couldn't hear it. Okay? So when that discovery was made, it came to my mind, I said, first thing, of course, trained ears can distinguish those kind of sounds. And I kind of wonder also in my heart that in my life, maybe there is a hairpin that's causing dissonance in my life, and I don't even know. But who knows it? God, Jesus Christ, right? So I really look at that, and I said to myself, isn't that important? That piano, which is so expensive, so well designed, so well put together, and then the concert pianist, which is world class, when she played, and that little thing could cause that piano, that performance, to be under par. Isn't that a waste? Isn't that a waste? And I look at it at our church. When Jesus, before he left this earth, he had a prayer, right? Prayer. Found in John 17. If you have your Bible, John 17, verses 20 to 21. John 17, 20 to 21.约翰福音第十七章二十节到二十一节，OK，有中文的先用中文念一遍好不好？来，开始。 Okay, let's read together, verse 20 to 21, chapter 17. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are one in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Wow. Let me ask you, what is so important in Jesus' prayer? What focus did he have? The unity of his body, right? Okay? And why is that so important? He says, if they have unity, then it shows that you have sent me. I am the Son of God. If they see the unity of the body of Christ, then they can see it could be none other. People cannot be united like that without Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ is making it possible to give us that unity. So it's important, extremely important. Now, let me ask you another question. If Jesus prayed that prayer, would that prayer be answered? All of you would say yes. But then you look at the reality is, I'm not sure. Maybe in my home, there's not that harmony or peace or unity. In my fellowship group, maybe we don't really see that unity and love and support. Maybe at the church as a whole, we can see maybe different language group or different age group. We're not together. So let me ask you, if Jesus' prayer will be answered, then what is the lagging? What is missing? What is lacking? Okay, we gotta ask that question. It's important. It's serious. That's why we want to go to Ephesians 4 now. Ephesians chapter 4, and find out what Paul has to say about church unity. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 1 to 6. Okay, let's again read it in Chinese first. Okay, are you ready? Ephesians 4, 1 to 6. Okay, English, let's read it together. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit to the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over and through all and in all. Okay? So here, I would like to divide it into three parts. First, basically, the theme, I believe, of this passage is we exalt Christ through our unity that comes from submitting to one another, to the Holy Spirit, and to Christ as Lord. Okay? So what I'll do is I want to facilitate our interaction because I think one of the best ways to learn is to interact with each other. Okay? So I'll divide into three parts. The first part is submitting to one another in love. Secondly, is submitting to the Holy Spirit to unite us. And then third, submit to Christ as Lord. Okay? And then each section, we will divide up, we will have discussion, and I believe you have your handout already, both in English and in Chinese. Okay? So, first, submit to one another in love. Okay? So, it is very important that the submission is out of love. Okay? I don't know about you. In the family that you are growing up, our culture, Chinese culture, we emphasize very much submission and obedience, especially to parents and our elders, right? Okay? And so, we also know that if children fail to obey, then we can maybe even coerce them, okay, by warning them that there will be discipline, or at the same time, we will withdraw privileges from you. Okay, so we demand that. But let me ask you, is this what Paul is asking us to do when we submit? Oh, God is going to hit us with a 2x4. Okay, he can do that, of course, right? But it says it is done out of love, in love. In other words, it's a grateful response to God. Now, I don't know about you. Have you found that if there is true love, love changes us? Okay? Now, I don't know about you. But when I first got married, I was very much in love with my wife. And I knew that she wanted her agenda to change me. Wow. Who likes wives changing you, husband? I learned that husbands usually think, when they get married, honey, you just stay the same. Don't change. But the wives, when they get married, husband, I want to change you. You are my project. When that happens, it doesn't work too well, does it? Okay, unfortunately, I wish that was the case, it would work, but that's not true. But when there is real love, what happens? Especially those who are, I can see, very much in love still with their wives and husband. It is because you see one thing, is that either when your spouse see your shortcomings, your bad habits, your weakness, and the person gives you grace. Right? They give you grace. They say, honey, I give you grace. I forgive you. I allow Christ to change you and praise for you. Isn't that change from the inside? Yeah. That's how I experience it. When my wife, instead of pointing out my weakness and shortcomings and start saying, and I know she started praying for me, and she starts saying, I forgive you. I give you grace. Then I begin to change from the inside. Not perfect. I'm still in process. But that was the start. So I believe love of Christ changes our lives. Do you believe that? If that's the case, then Paul suggests that there will be four character qualities that expresses that love, that grateful love to Christ. And what are those four things? First is humility. Humility. Now, the word humility that is used in the Greek in this passage is a derogatory term. What does that mean? It has something to do with slaves
for people who were captured during the war, who are subservient, who have to serve others reluctantly. You cannot, you have no choice. You have to serve. That's the word used to be used by the Greek. Okay? But how did that change? When Christians adopted this word, they redeemed the word, it means something like this. If you read Philippians 2, how does it say in Philippians 2, 2 and 3? When it's through humility, as a servant, Jesus Christ, consider others better than yourselves. Do you see people that you serve better than yourself? Come on, if they're better than me, they better serve themselves. They don't need me. No. Christ did not. Secondly, others need people that you serve are more important than yours. Wow, that's revolutionary. That's what you mean by humility? Yes. Jesus Christ displayed that. That's humility. So, when that happens, when people that you serve don't say, thank you, I appreciate it, I was helped, what do? You feel it inside? Or you said, well, I'm serving the Lord. Christ did that. I'm going to do it the same. So, first is humility. Ask yourself, in what situation, in your marriage, in your family, in your small fellowship group, is it the most difficult for you to see others being stronger than you are? And their need is more important than yours. Let's pause for a moment. Can you think of that person? What makes that person most difficult for you to serve or be humble? Second quality is gentleness. Gentleness. Gentleness is not a person who is weak, but a person who is strong, but allowing his strength to serve other people. Then let me say it again. Gentleness has to do with not somebody who is weak, but somebody who is strong, but is willing to use that strength or power to serve others. Have you come across people that you admire very much? Maybe it could be a professor. It could be your boss. It could be a brother in Christ or sister in Christ who has so much education, who has so much wisdom, so much strength, so much wealth, so much beauty, or whatever they have. But they're never boastful. And they use what they have to serve you. In this country, we call them philanthropists. If somebody has a lot of wealth and they're willing to benefit you, they are called philanthropists. In other words, they love people. It's the two compound word of philia, love, anthro, people. Okay? Do we love people that much that we don't have to show how good we are, our credential? That is gentleness. So that when people come to you, they can feel that you can accept them, but they're not as good as you are. Think for a while now. Who is one person that maybe, will look down on because they're not that educated, or maybe they're not that easy to relate to? A difficult person. But you can be gentle to that person. Because why? Why? Jesus has been gentle with you. I hope one sign of wisdom and maturity is when you look back on how Christ could have treated you and He has been merciful towards you, and you say, wow, Jesus has been very gentle on me. When you begin to see that, and when you begin to appreciate that, then he said, I better be gentle towards a person who's undeserving. Like my kid who is very rebellious. I will say 100 times and he or she doesn't listen. That's when you need to be gentle. Because why? You see that person, not from your perspective, but you see that person from the perspective of what they can be when Christ worked and changed them.
Right? Many times we give up on somebody, and I do, my wife has to remind me, there you are, writing off somebody again. And then I have to remind myself, God could have written me off early. If you see people from God's perspective, that God can change them. Gentleness, that's what we need. And then next is patience. Patience is very simply to allow people room to fail. When do we need patience the more? It's not only waiting in line. Although one of our elders at church used to say, "Hey Johnny, you know how to learn patience? Very easy. When you go grocery shopping and you go to the checkout counter, look for the longest line and you go to that line." Or if you see somebody with less groceries, say, "Hey, why don't you go ahead of me?" That's one way of learning patience. Okay? And I guess another way of learning patience is when somebody repeatedly do the same mistake and you just headed up to here and you want to give up. Okay? That's when you need patience. Because it's giving people room to faith. And by the way, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It cannot come from you. Okay, don't try. Because if you do, you'll give them limits. "I'll give you 7 times, said Peter. "I'll give this guy 7 times. And after that, I'm gonna..." Okay? That's why Jesus said, no. 70 times 7. One of the mentors that I had is Rabbi Peter the Lottery. That's his name. I always remember him. Because you know what? On his plate, if there's one thing, he would ask me, "Johnny, what can I give you as my inheritance to you?" It'll be that license plate. You know what's written on that license plate? It's a personalized plate. It has 70x7. Because he's been wrong many times. And the Lord used that to shed his love. And from the time I know him, he's always been very, very patient with me. Very encouraging person. A transformed person. And he touched my life very much. Patience. Lastly, forbearance. Forbearance is to bear with another and put up with his faults and bad habits, knowing that we have our own. I think forbearance, the word that I see, is somebody bearing the weight of somebody else. Don't you think sometimes, and many times, people that we work with, the people that we work closely with, maybe in our department at work, or maybe at church when we serve, somebody, you know, is a little faster, somebody is a little slower, huh? And oftentimes, have you noticed that somehow God always put two people, a husband and a wife, in a marriage situation that they are kind of different? I have a very dear friend, very good friend. He would tell me this. He says, when they are together in a room, he and his wife are in the house, one person will try to open the window because it's too hot. And the other person will try to turn up the heat, the thermostat. Because body temperature, they're very different. And they say, "We will try to, you know, if they're not watching, okay, I'll open the window." The other person will turn up the thermostat. And those little things, have you noticed? Those little things just get on our nerves. Huh? Wow. And same way, in working as co-workers, I'm sure sometimes there's certain people you work with easier to work with. Some person, it's harder, more difficult. And that takes forbearance. So, what I'd like you to do now is we'd like to get into our small group and then let's discuss. Based on those four qualities, okay, there are a few statements I would like you to... The first time is you examine yourself. Self-evaluation time. Okay? Okay? There are, I put in your handout, if you see your handout, there are contrasts, okay, of different things. One is, if it's based on mutual submission to one another, then this is our response to people. I accept you as you are. I accept you as you are. Okay? On the other hand, if we fail to have exercise these four qualities, then we will say, I want to change you to fit what I want. Okay? Let's pause for a while. Right there. Right there. Think of a person now that maybe you don't say it, but by your reaction to that person, you oftentimes is actually saying, I want to change you to fit what I want. Who's that person? Who's that person? Okay? Can you acknowledge that to the Lord? And can you say, Lord, I'm not really being loving that person. I just want to change that person to fit what I want. And then ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, how can I change? Change my attitude. Change my perspective. Secondly, I believe you are valuable. Okay? Again, that's exercising those four qualities, which has to do with humility, gentleness, patience, and forbearance. Or it could be lack of love. This is what you do. You are valuable to me only when you value me. You are valuable to me only when you value me. But when you serve me, that's when you're valuable. When you listen to me, when you obey me, that's only the time that you're valuable to me. Okay? Is that the case? And by the way, who's that person? Who's that person? Should we acknowledge that? Third, I care when you hurt. I care when you hurt. Or you are high maintenance to me when you hurt. And I have to acknowledge this. When I first got married and my wife started crying over something, I just don't know what to do. I just froze. Whereas when a person is hurting, not only crying, sometimes they don't even have to cry, but you can sense that. That's one of the most tender moments that you can bond with that person, isn't it? Right? So I think it is important that we need to be sensitive when people are hurt and are in pain. Okay, we might not know how to respond properly, but if we pray, I believe the Holy Spirit will give us the wisdom, the listening ear. And sometimes all it takes is just a listening ear. I remember the other day, we were visiting a family, a couple. And then, you know, when my wife showed up on the scene because they're going through crisis. And wow, she was talking to my wife. And almost, you know, like she couldn't stop. But then at the same time, I noticed I didn't see, you know, because they were on the other side of the, they were in the kitchen, we were on the dining room. So I didn't see below the waist. But later on I found out what my wife was doing. She was holding that sister's hand. All she did was listen and hold that sister's hand. I said, no wonder she was encouraged to share and share and share from her. Sometimes it's just a touch. Sometimes maybe it's just a arm around the shoulder, on the shoulder. And sometimes maybe it's just the eyes, maybe sometimes the nodding, and then the prayer, and then people respond. Okay? So let me ask you, especially men, when your wife is hurting, when your children's hurting, maybe they express it through tears. That's easy to recognize. Sometimes they express it through anger. Do you recognize that? Will they sometimes be depressed
that could be a form of sadness,
and other ways,
or maybe they're withdrawn, they're just quiet, silent. Do you see that?
When that happens, isn't that the opportunity for you to bond and to understand that person? Okay? How about the co-workers? How about a new believer? Do they respond in that way? Do you see it? Do you ask the right questions? So are they high maintenance to you, or when they're hurt, they are, you care? Next, I desire only what is best for you. Okay, if it's out of love, I desire what is best for you. Or if it's not from love or from the flesh, I know what is best for you, so follow what I say. Just follow me. Just listen to me. I know how to fix you. I know what to do you need to do. Just listen to me. Okay? You see how different the two are? Okay? One is, I really want the best for you. I will pray for you. I will help you. I will guide you. But the other one is, just follow me. Okay? How are you leading your group? Whether it be the Awana, the fellowship group, the Bible study, or what other group that you're doing. Is it out of love, or is it out of your superiority? Next, which is not easy, I erase all your offenses. I erase all your offenses. As Christians, let's be honest. When you see somebody who has hurt you, when you see that, do you sometimes take a step backward? I do. Sometimes just even the thought of that person can also still cause me to kind of feel a little hurt. That can still be there. But, you know what's the next thing that is very, very important that comes to my mind, which I believe the Holy Spirit does? Is he will remind me, Johnny, you have forgiven that person, and God has forgiven that person. Immediately when I hear those words, my heart is at peace, healing comes again into my heart. Okay, I'll sit again. Sometimes it can still be possible that a person that you've fully forgiven can still cause you to have hurt, and even hurtful, painful thoughts. Okay? But the key is you have to select. Do you want to dwell on that, or you want the Holy Spirit to remind you that that person has been forgiven by God and by you, and the healing has already taken place? I've noticed that a lot of people, when they're growing up, they do not dare to express this, but their parents have disappointed them. The parents have hurt them. The parents have misunderstood them, and they just keep it in their heart. They never say it. Okay? So when they become parents, guess what kind of default position they have? When they examine very closely, they are somewhat like their parents. So they're kind of confused. I thought my parents did not understand me. I thought my parents had hurt me. And why am I hurting my children in the same way my parents hurt me? And you get mad at yourself. And you kind of wonder why it becomes a cycle. And I believe it's because we have forgotten that forgiveness has taken place already. Because if not, this is how we will respond to people. You will say, you better not offend me again, or else... And you can fill in the words. I'm going to slander you. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to make your life miserable. We might not say it. And as Christians, we don't say it. But in our hearts, those thoughts still dwell there. And that's why next time somebody says something wrong, bang, you're mad at that person. Can we have unity? Absolutely not. Okay? So, bear with me. Is the Spirit speaking to us? Is it important that we need to address these issues? Because it's easy to talk about humility, right? Easy to talk about gentleness. Easy to talk about patience. Easy to talk about forbearance. But in the heart of hearts, there needs to be spring cleaning. Anybody have a family tradition of spring cleaning during spring? Well, that's on my to-do list this year. After I heard somebody who moved from a house to a condominium and they threw out 80% of their stuff, I went home and I told Sanku, I said, how much did we throw out when we moved to that place? She says about 25%. I said about 30%. I said, let's do more. I think we need to get rid of a lot of stuff, the junk in our place, don't you think? And in a retreat setting, that's good. That's what we need. So what is it that we need? What is God speaking to you? Is it forgiveness? Is it being patient with people? Is it being humble by seeing other people stronger than we are? And also their needs as more important than ours? Because God always do that. Okay? So let's go to the next one now. Submit to the Spirit to unite us. Submit to the Spirit to unite us. That's found in verses 3 and 4. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope and when you were called. Okay? So, we see here the Holy Spirit. Why is this so important? Why do we know that the Holy Spirit would unite us? Okay? The one thing, let's go back now, when you first came to Christ. Okay? Maybe you heard the gospel before, many times, like I did, but there seems to be a particular point in our lives that we are convicted of one thing very clearly. And what is that? Convicted of our sin. Right? In John 16, he says, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, about sin, because people do not believe in me. In other words, if you have become a Christian, and I believe you are, then it's because of your awareness of God's holiness and our sinfulness. And as a result of that, we know that we need Christ, right? So, if that is true of you, and that's true of your experience, then Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit has worked in your life. And you accepted Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit is in resident or living inside you. Okay? Got it? So if the Holy Spirit is inside and dwelling in each of us, then we have the same Spirit. And since there's only one Spirit, not multi-Spirit, then if we are all listening to the Holy Spirit and following His guidance, then what will happen? Unity. Right? Unity. Unity will take place. So, how is He showing unity through our lives? We are also told that we can ask for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Okay? We have the Holy Spirit, His indwelling, and we need to do one thing that's very, very important. One thing, to allow the Holy Spirit to live through us, to control our lives, is that we need to have no unconfessed sins in our life. Right? Because why? How did Paul teach? Do not quench the Holy Spirit. How do you quench the Holy Spirit? How do you keep the fire of the Holy Spirit from working in our lives? It is when we have unconfessed sin in our lives. So let me ask you this question. I constantly have to ask myself this question. What did I do today that quenched the Holy Spirit? Is there any lie that I told myself? It could be something very simple. When I accuse somebody without
practical basis, why am I accusing that person? Where's that coming from? I don't think that's from the Holy Spirit. I think that's from the evil one. And I have to confess that. Oh, you got that thought in my mind. I have to confess that. Okay? When we see somebody maybe getting a promotion, somebody getting a new house, a new car, I don't know what it is. And all of a sudden I said, I deserve something as good as that, if not better. What is that? That is sin. That is jealousy. Are we aware of it? Do we arrest that thought and confess that sin and ask Christ to deliver us from that sin? Because if not, the Holy Spirit cannot work. Because just as Satan gives us a thought or influence our attitude, the Holy Spirit works immediately and tells us, no, 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 no. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be thinking that way. You shouldn't have that attitude. And then you have a choice right there and there. Which one should I choose? Who should I listen to? Right? And when that's the power of the Holy Spirit. He does tell us moment by moment, minute by minute. And then the other thing is, when we are fully submissive to the Holy Spirit, and later on we would share that point also, is that we have brothers and sisters who can serve as agents of the Holy Spirit. You know, one time, it happened several times. Usually, my wife and I, we will pray together before we go to sleep. And I noticed one time when we were praying, and she was starting to confess my sin for me. Huh? You like that? So somehow the Holy Spirit had worked in their heart, but not somehow worked in my heart. Wow, that's powerful. Oftentimes, if you notice that our spouse, our messenger of the Holy Spirit, huh? They see things that we don't see. Because we, all of us, in our sinful nature, we have our blind spot, right? That's why when we were learning how to drive, what's one thing that we have to learn? Not just to look in front, but also look in the rear view mirror and turn, you know, when you're turning left, you have to look at the side view mirror and even turn your shoulder. If you don't turn your shoulder, minus points. Right? That's serious. Because you still have a blind spot right there. Not just back there, but right there. Right? And would you believe if we are really in unity with each other and we really trust each other and we love each other, our brothers and sisters in Christ, because they have a good relationship with us, will come up to us and say, hey Johnny, I noticed that one remark you just said, I don't think it's very loving. Wow. And you pause and you listen. First, you can fight, right? You can defend yourself. No, 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 no. I didn't mean that. You overreacted. Or I can. First thing is, and he asked the Holy Spirit, what are you telling me? I dare you. You ask that question. Say, Holy Spirit, what are you telling me through that person? I dare you. You ask that question, and before you know it, he will convict you. Or if you spend time in the Word, he will point that out to you. That person is right. You need to apologize. You need to apologize. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Imagine, when we are so submitted to the Holy Spirit in that sense, do you think Satan can really attack us? He might. But because the wall is solid, the protection by the Holy Spirit, we are united, he cannot attack us. Because when I have something that I see somebody is wrong, I can in a loving way, through the Holy Spirit, prepare my heart, talk to that person out of love and truth. And the Holy Spirit, I will pray to work in that person. Do you think that person will listen? I believe so. I believe so. I don't have to go around and tell people, you know what that person just said? I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. And I believe when that happened, the Holy Spirit will work to unite us together. Let's take a moment, and I would like to divide us into group, okay? Because they're English-speaking and Chinese-speaking, so I'll have Brother Dongping assign. I don't know how we can assign the group, so that you can, you know, have a time to reflect, and then you can share with each other, okay? Okay, so The Holy Spirit wants to unite us, so
what we share in that group will be confidential, okay? Okay, good. So how do we want to divide? 弟兄姐妹, 请你们回到你们的田位, huh? Yeah. So,
我刚才在看你们的分享的时候, I saw you sharing, so I thought I should not quench the Holy Spirit from letting you share. So, hopefully you don't mind, we went a little over. But I will abbreviate the last part, okay? Which is submit
to Christ as Lord. Submit to Christ as Lord. Could you turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4, 以弗所书第四章, verses 4 to 6. 以弗所书第四章第四节到第六节, verses 4 to 6. Okay, 我们先请, 如果找到了, 先请中文的先念一遍好不好? 以弗所书第四章第四到第六节。 Okay, let's use English. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through and on all.
I don't know how many of you enjoy symphony orchestra or classical music. Okay? Have you noticed one thing about the power of the conductor? Huh? You know that the conductor is good when they know when it goes the downbeat, everybody plays. If it goes downbeat and they're behind by milliseconds, that's a lousy conductor, right? So almost a conductor has all the power. But let me ask you a question. If one member of the orchestra said, well, I kind of like my own interpretation, so I would like to play a little different from what the composer and the conductor wants, would it be really an orchestra? No way, right? Okay, so now I would like to look at the church. Who is the conductor of the church? The Lord, right? Okay, when you see that it's the Lord who's leading, you see it in our deacons, you see it in our foots of the bishop, and you see that they are following after Christ, right? Just like Paul says, follow me. Did he stop there? As I follow Christ. Okay, that's very important. Now, one thing to help us to visualize how Jesus is the Lord is this, okay? After we become a Christian, what do we do? What's the first step that we do to confess our faith in Jesus Christ? We get baptized, right? Now, you know what baptism symbolizes? Of course. In Romans 6, we are told that when, don't you know that when you are baptized into his death and his burial, okay? And resurrection. Now, isn't that a gloomy religion? People, baptism, first thing you do is something to do with death? Huh? Wow, that's very negative. Looks very bad. Huh? Not very impressive. And then what's the other thing that you should do as a Christian? Baptism, you only do how many times in your Christian life? Once. How about the other thing that you do on a regular basis? The Holy Communion. Right? Now, the Holy Communion represents what? The death of Jesus Christ again. Wow. You use the body, which is represented by the bread. That's a body. And then you drink the cup. That also represents Jesus Christ's blood. Now, if you want to equate that to modern times, it's equate to some places still have in the States. Capital punishment is what? Hanging. Imagine, everything you do when you meet, you show a rope, or what do you call it? There's a name for that. Anyway, to represent that. Or an electric chair. Or a lethal injection. You have that. Every time you meet, you look at that. And you meditate on that. Wow, terrible. That's what the cross represents. That's what the cross represents. Before Christ. But after Christ came, the cross means something else. What does it mean? Let's review again. What does the cross represent? I should be on that cross. Right? So whenever you think about Christ's death, I have to ask the question, am I dead in Christ? Imagine, whenever we are together, whenever I start a day, I ask myself, am I dead in Christ? How am I going to die to Christ today? You ask that question. When you ask that question, then Christ can be Lord. If Johnny still lives, Jesus is not Lord. Understand that? So when you begin to ask that question, and your boss asks, hey, I know you have to go, but I have something very important to finish. There's a deadline project. You start grumbling to yourself. Is that dead to Christ? Because the Bible says, submit to your master as you submit to Christ. Right? And when we see our children misbehaving, we give them a good scolding, right? That's the way to change them. Or we say, why did they disobey? What is it that I need to understand why they are disobeying or rebellious? And then you say, Christ, I want him or her to listen to you, not to me. That's dying to Christ. Right? So, that is a very significant question that we constantly need to ask. And when we come for Holy Communion, that is only served as a reminder. You can have the cross here. That's a good reminder. Excellent. But if it's just an emblem that you're a Christian, but you do not remind yourself, am I dead to Christ? That is useless. Absolutely useless. Got it? Got it. Okay, so when we see that, don't you think that Paul is right in saying in 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 21, he says, how could Christians drink the cup of the Lord, celebrate their fellowship with him, and then go out and fellowship with demons? Wow. Wow. That's a very serious condemnation. What is Paul saying by that when he talked to the Corinthian church? He is saying that whenever you use the communion, you are saying again, Lord, I'm recommitting myself to die for you. But he is saying, in your regular walk in life, if you are doing this, I want to please myself. I want to please just my boss. I just want to please my parents. Or I just want to please my children. Or I want to please somebody else, whoever it is, other than Christ. That is fellowshipping with demons. Because Christ demands absolute sovereignty. Okay, let me say this. Some of you might say, well, I've never trusted anybody 100%. I know that. Sometimes if we have grown up with difficult people in our lives, people who are important, significant, people who, like our parents, who we trust, and they have violated certain trust. Okay, and I'll share with you about my life. When I see my parents fighting, not only I lost respect for them, but my heart is broken into pieces. You understand what I mean? Something in your heart says, I cannot fully trust them because they cannot love, and if they make a mistake, they apologize and seek forgiveness. And so I have to learn the hard way is when me and my wife, when we have quarreled and conflict, and our child sees it, our son sees it, I have to go to him and say, "Mark, I am sorry that that happened." Or sometimes I correct them. I correct him, and I correct him out of anger, even though he did something wrong. I had to go back and apologize to him. Now, I told you earlier that my mentor was somebody I look up to. I respect him 100%. But nobody's perfect, right? I remember at his funeral, one of his sons, who was a wayward child, came up and shared things about how he remember about his dad. There were a lot of good things. Now he has turned back and now in ministry by his birth. And this son said, "But I still remember something that I have difficulty forgiving my dad. It's when one day he came home and the toilet was running water. And he immediately condemned me, said I was the one who did something to it, because I guess he was kind of the youngest, also tried to like to fool around. So immediately, without asking who did it or investigate the facts, he said, "You did it," and punish him. He said, "I did not forget that." And I wonder sometimes, do we still remember those things and never release them? Because there's no perfect being, right? Only God is. And that's why I believe we need to redeem that. As we forgive that person, you know what God can do? He said, "I can redeem that. I can use that hurt, that pain, even though that person is no longer there. If you forgive that person, you will not be like that person. You'll be changed. You'll be different." And you know why I can say that? Because Christ is the only person, believe me, Christ is the only person that you can trust, because he's the only person who can control you and not destroy you. Let me say it again. I have to repeat it in my mind repeatedly, that Christ is the only person who can control my life and not destroy me. Other people, it could be any, maybe they start off with good intentions, like the dictator that we had back in the Philippines. He started off good intention. There was a lot of change. A lot of, you know, the crime reduced to almost zero. But then, after his absolute power corrupts. Only Christ, who is perfect without the sinful nature, can control your life, my life, without exploiting us or destroying. You believe that? You believe that? Then when you believe that, then we can die to ourselves and surrender fully to him. Because he will never, never lie to you. He'll never exploit you. He'll never destroy you. In fact, you and I are created in his image. He wants to see in reflection of your life his image. Believe that? And so when you do that, then I want you to imagine this. If all of us are willing to die to ourselves and Jesus becomes Lord, then seekers that come to our church, and I see that every time I come here, they're new people. And some of them are seekers. And then also they're looking for something. You know what? Based on Jesus' prayer on John 17, if we love each other, that we submit to one another, they will see it is only possible because Christ is the Lord of this church. You believe that? You believe that? I see nodding heads. Yes. Amen. Amen. Secondly, I also see that we are a church that have people prefer different languages and different cultures. And so therefore, there is, we usually call it a gap. But I believe, just imagine, as we submit to the Lord, those gaps begin to come together. Because we have something more common. It's not just we belong to this church, but we belong to the body of Christ. So that gap is narrowed down. Another thing also, We used to be, when this church started, and I'm just kind of rewinding in the 80s, and the family is headed by a couple, you know, husband and wife. And that's the majority. That at that time maybe is around 60%, but now the husband and wife that are, you know, original couple that are in this, heading the family, are now the minority, about 40%. Okay? So when people come to this church, what is their background? They are cohabitation, they're single parent family, they're also other kind of families. And so what they need to see is this church also my family? In which, if I came from a broken home, if I came from a single parent family, can I find daddy and mommy in this church? Now, if you think, you know, my parents, they love each other, they're still to the very end. But one thing my dad always told me, even though he's very close to me, he's the one who tells stories to me when I was growing up, but he always said, Johnny, look for somebody better than me, whether it be in sports, in spirituality, or other things. Look for these people. And I've noticed that the people that I learned from were like my dad in a sense. In what sense? We can talk heart to heart. I can share with them what I'm thinking without being rejected. Have you that kind of a person? I hope that in this church it can start with us. I believe all of us do not have perfect parents. All of us can have spiritual parents in the church, the place where we worship and fellowship. And when we do that, there's a term we call re-parenting, in which people then begin to see what is a biblical father, what is a biblical mother. And when you have that, that person's life will be transformed. Everybody, I learned again and again, are looking for a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. They are. Because there is not one person. And one thing I will remind, I constantly remind myself. There was a pastor I worked with early on, many years ago, 30-some years ago. And we were doing discipleship. And he told me this, and I'll never, never forget. He said, Johnny, what we need to do is to disciple people. And do you know what? None of us will be like Christ perfectly. In other words, we are not the perfect disciple that our mentee or disciple needs. So why do we do this? Why do we encourage them besides following us, learning from us, and so forth? They should also find somebody else who can complete their understanding and learning from Christ. Do you believe that? Even if I am really discipling my children, I am still not the only one that they can learn from. I hope there will be Sunday school teachers, youth counselors, and other people. So I want to commend you folks for investing in our children's lives. You are, in a sense, their spiritual parents. And you as parents, please remember these workers to thank them, to also encourage them, invite them to your home, and also to tell them, sometimes, you know, my children still need to learn this. Can you pray for my child? Can you help my child in this regard? And you know one thing I've noticed, even in my son, sometimes he prefers to listen to his counselor than to me. Have you noticed? Huh? Okay? That's natural. I hope that's the case. Because I'm not God. I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm just a reflection. Imperfect. And I hope somebody else come into their lives. So, with that in mind, I would like you to go to your small group again. And just imagine, with that vision, because earlier I'm so appreciative of Brother Paul in selecting that song, give us his vision. So in that vision, I kind of let you see how can our church, in submitting to Christ,
become a family to families. Okay? So there are discussion questions. And then one thing, I use an acronym. Okay, quickly, if you can go on your sheet. There's the acronym CHRIST. Okay? In your handout. First, C stands for what? Confidentiality. Okay? Confidentiality. I just like to encourage you, as we learn how to submit each other to the Lord, in our small group, in our Bible study group, what is shared in that group is not shared with us people outside the group. Okay? Okay? Confidentiality. C. H. Honesty. Honesty. Okay? Let's learn how to be honest so that when we share, it will not only include about what we learn, but what we feel also, what are some of the struggles we go through, and if the Lord to prompt you, even sin that we need to confess to each other. Okay? Honesty. H, honesty. R, respect. Let's respect our group leaders, our church leaders, and so on. Okay? And then I stands for intercession. Intercession, that means prayer. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's pray for people who are in need. And honestly, you know, as you pray, you ask them, maybe by phone, by email, or when you see them, tell me how the Lord has been answering my prayer for you. Okay? And then if you have prayer needs, please share them also. S stands for spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. So if we are focused as a group, if we covenant to grow spiritually, then the things like doing business, let's not talk about that. Borrowing money, okay, let's not, you know, include that. Or other things that are not helping us to promote spiritual growth, let us not put emphasis on that, okay? Okay, so S, spiritual growth. And then T, Timothy's. Timothy's is from, in the passage, 2 Timothy 2:2, when Paul says, whatever you heard from me, pass on to faithful and trustworthy people so that they can also teach others. Okay, so when you are in a group, ask this question. If I'm in this group, I'm not leading this time. At this time, I want to learn how to lead also. I want to learn how to share the gospel with people. I want to learn how to counsel people. I want to learn how to teach the Bible. And then when you have that kind of heart, you really learn. Okay? We like to use the term, xian mai, which means you buy and immediately start to sell that. Okay? And you learn a lot by doing that. Because if you just sit there and say, okay, I'll probably use this about 5 years from now, you probably won't listen. You won't even learn. But you know you have to teach somebody, wow, you learn fast. You take notes and you learn. Okay? So please, can I encourage you to also discuss how in our church we can practice all those five things so that we can submit to Christ. C is what? Confidentiality. H, honesty. R, respect. I, intercession. S, spiritual growth. T, Timothy. Okay? Could you please go into your small group and discuss with the vision in mind that we want to have Christ as Lord of our life, of our church. Okay? Good. So what time should we finish? I won't be speaking anymore.
弟兄姐妹, 大家好。
These brothers and sisters.
我今天很感谢主, 我能够在这边分享一下我在东区教会神是怎么样的 你知道带领我在喂养我在这边长大。
Thank the Lord for this opportunity to share with everyone how I have grown spiritually and how the Lord has pastored me and nourished me throughout my time here at ECCC.
我信主是30年了,但是我有22年是在东区教会。
So I've become a believer for 30 years now, and 22 of those have been spent here in ECCC.
我在东区教会的头10年,我是 没有 参加任何的 fellowship， 我很少去 fellowship。
So for the first 10 years, I only occasionally attended any kind of fellowship meeting.
我也没有任何的服事。
And nor do I have any.
我更没有去查经班。
Nor do I have any service, and of course, I also didn't go to any Bible study group.
我在家里面我自己平常是会读经祷告。
And so usually I would spend time in my own home reading the scriptures and praying.
我在因为我信主的时候，我是在在研究所念书的时候，我们查经班的弟兄姐妹有给我很好的带领。
But when I first became a believer, I was in graduate school, and then the brother there gave me a lot of good guidance.
他跟我说的就是只要信，如果有不懂的或不知道的。就是答案都在圣经上。
And what he told me is that all I have to do is just believe, and if there I have any questions, I can find the answer in the Bible.
那就是我那个时候说，因为家的关系，有小孩子很小，那就是我做的。
And so because at that time I have a small, very small kid, and that's exactly what I did.
后来我们教会搬到这个就是我们在这里开始聚会的时候。
And so later on, when our church moved to this building.
那天我记得是还是在下午做礼拜，是彭弟兄在传讲信息。
And I still remember on that day, we still have our meeting in the afternoon, and on that particular day, Brother Jonathan Pong was sharing the message.
我不记得他分享什么东西，但是我知道完了以后，他就在那里呼召。
And I don't remember the exact message, but I do remember that at the end of the message, he called to everyone.
他说：“你们如果愿意奉献，就是把一生交给主的，可以站起来，我为你们祷告。”
And what he says is that if you're willing to offer yourself entire life to the Lord, you can stand up now, and I can pray for you.
我是心里非常的感动，因为这么多年来，我觉得神很爱我。
And I was deeply moved because I felt like all this year, these years, the Lord have loved me so much.
所以我就站起来了。
And so I stood up.
其实我祷告完以后，我一坐下，我心里其实是马上就很惭愧的。
And so, in reality, right as soon as the prayer finished, when I sat down, I feel so ashamed in my heart.
我希望没有人看到我站起来。
I hope that in my heart, I was hoping that no one see me standing up.
因为我觉得我差得太远了，我觉得我又没有服事，什么都没有做，你知道。
Because I felt like I'm so far away, I haven't done anything.
但是我的心是跟主说，主，我是爱你的，我愿意这样子的。
But yet in my heart, I told him that, Lord, I love you and I'm willing to do this.
所以这就是我的祷告。
And so that was my prayer.
渐渐的我也不知道为什么，我就开始在教会里面，我很感谢那时候有这个 multimedia group。
And slowly, in the church, I don't know how it started, but I do remember that at the time there's this multimedia group.
月如跟这个明真就邀请我去做这个 edit 的工作 ，editing 这个讲到的信息，要把它 editing， 因为中间有很多什么哈的东西，或者是那些重复的句子，把它删减。
And I was invited to be an editor for the various messages to edit out certain parts that are being repeated or whatnot.
我很感谢主，因为我就从那个时候我就开始又听了一些很多的信息。
And so, thank the Lord, with that opportunity, I was able to listen again to a lot of the messages.
即便当我不再做 editing 工作的时候，我也常常跟瓦里说：“哎，你那边还有没有录音带？”
And even when I stopped being an editor, I still asked Wally for to see if there are any recording cassettes that I could listen to.
那一段时间帮助我就多认识神的话语，因为我平常读圣经就是这样子念完，我从来没有把前后要放在一起，从来没有想过这一本圣经是这么奇妙。
So that helped me tremendously, because before I was just reading scripture at the time, but I never thought about putting everything together, and I've never known that how amazing the Bible is actually is.
我接下来后来我就去了，我要讲的就是在后来的这几年当中，神借着教会里面各样的弟兄姐妹的帮助还有牧养关怀。 鼓励，让我慢慢的在主里面开始成长。
And in subsequent years, through the various encouragements and pastorings and helps from brothers and sisters, I started to grow in the church.
我就回到查经班来了。
And so I started, I returned to Bible study groups.
是在天怡仲士跟天怡他们那组查经。
I went to join Brother 仲士 and Sister 天怡's Bible study group.
我在那里开始有学习的机会，我就开始带查经。
And so it's within that group I have this opportunity, and so I started to lead Bible study sessions.
我也多认识一些弟兄姐妹，也开始有一些感觉到是弟兄姐妹家的那种。那种感觉。
And I started to know some brothers and sisters, and it's at that point when I actually started to feel like we are brothers and sisters, and we have this family feel like we're a family.
神不只是在这个真理上或在这个生活上，让我跟弟兄姐妹开始有了接触，他在我自己家里或个人生活上也一些安排。
And so God not only allowed me by interaction with brother and sister that I realized his God's truth and his life, but also he made arrangements in my personal life as well.
当我在急难当中，当我觉得我实在是很 helpless, 很 useless 的时候。
And so during my most troublesome times, when I feel like I'm helpless and useless.
我那时候觉得我的生命不长。
At that point, I felt like my life is very short.
神的话开始跟我打开了。
And so, His words start opening up to me.
我开始很渴慕神。
And so I start to seek Him and long for Him.
我就那个时候我做的一件事就是我选择我要去祷告会。
And so I have made a decision, and that is that I want to go and join the prayer meetings.
我本来去的时候是想我心里好多的难处。
And so before when I decided to do this, I felt like I have so many troubles in my heart.
我想找亲近祷告组的弟兄姐妹，我可以一起祷告。
So I wanted to find brother and sister who likes prayer, so I could pray with them.
但是我去了以后，我就不一样了，因为我发现是为教会祷告。
But it all changed after I joined the groups because I realized that, I come to realize that we're actually praying for the church.
是为着神的旨意祷告，是为着弟兄姐妹祷告。
And that we're praying for God's will, and that we're praying for brothers and sisters.
不是我自己的事情。
And not for my personal things.
我开始也不会祷告。
And also in the beginning, I don't know how to pray.
这段时间我就开始神让我有机会学习操练祷告。
And so during that time, God allowed me to have this opportunity to learn how to pray.
也在这个机会当中，我也有了一个祷告的同伴。
And then it's also because of this opportunity, I have a praying partner.
这个我就知道，我也在这个自然当中，我发现。不是我发现我经历到说这个祷告是我休息了，我不自己做工了。
And so it's during this time that I've experienced that praying means that I'm taking a break. I am no longer the one who's working.
是主在做工。
It's the Lord Himself who is working.
而且我记得我也经历到说如果没有祷告的话。
I also experienced that without prayer.
神有时候就没办法让没有办法做工，就是我们需要与神同工。
And what I found is that without prayer, God somehow cannot co-work with us. So that's why we need to co-work together.
尽管有时我在这当中我也学习到很多，因为不再是我单独跟神之间的祷告，而是我有很多的弟兄姐妹一起祷告。
And during this time, I also learned a lot. And what I learned is that I'm no longer the one I'm no longer the only one who's praying, but rather a brother and sister who are praying with me as well.
所以我你知道这中间也是有很多的忍耐，很多的就是有人祷告太长，有人祷告 或怎么样，你知道这个人的里面的心的那种情感，或者是在个肉体里面的事情都会出来，会觉得这种祷告是什么东西，或者是他为什么祷告这么久，我不喜欢跟这个人祷告，我喜欢跟那个人祷告。我在这里面我就开始经历说，哦，我开始就认识了我自己。
And so it's also through this experience that it really made me to be patient, because during prayer, while praying with others, you'll discover, or sometimes you might feel like, how come this person praying so long or so short, or how come this person's allowing his flesh, his fleshly side come out, or etc. etc. But and also for this experience, I've learned who I truly am as well.
所以一方面是啊这样的经历，一方面就是神的话。真是叫我看到，在我里面是没有良善的。
And so it's through this experience, and also as well as the words from our Lord, that made me understand that there is truly nothing good inside me.
我常常需要求圣灵求常常需要祷告，我要在主里面，我不要出来。
And oftentimes I need to pray in front of the Holy Spirit that I want to be within the Lord. I don't want to be away from Him. I don't want to be outside of Him.
我也知道这个是主的身体。
And I also know that this is His body.
我很清楚的能够开始感受到说，这是神的教会，这是神要的。
And I truly and clearly feel that this is His church, and this is what He wanted.
当我们当中有弟兄姐妹，或是有一个人受伤，或者一个人难过的时候，我自己会觉得。整个身体整个教会真的是一起难过的。
I feel that if there's just only one of us who are hurting, who are not feeling, I can feel that as a church, the entire body also feels saddened by this.
那一个人得荣耀，我也觉得就一起得荣耀，很快乐。
And I also feel like if one person is being glorified, then we also, an entire body, we feel glorified, and everybody so happy.
这个是祷告的殿，也是主耶稣说这是神祷告的殿，真是希望所有我们都是做祭司的，希望所有的。神的儿女，我们都起来一起祷告。
And so this is a house of prayer, and this, so our Lord also encouraged that we are all, we're all children, we're all, God's children are all His priests as well. So may we all, come to also pray for Him, pray to Him.
因为也是不是说没有经过很多，就高山低谷都有的，不过就是定睛仰望主。
For sure, you will experience high times and also low times, but the point is that you need to fix. We need to fix our eyes upon the Lord.
我最后最近两年是我在执事会做服事。
And so in the most recent 2 years, I've been serving on the deacons board.
我头两年也是没做什么事。
Also, the first 2 years while I was serving, I didn't do anything.
我现在也不知道是我有没有做什么事，因为我总是寻求要照着神的旨意。
And still to this day, I still don't know whether I've done whether I'm doing anything at all. But on all matters, I'm continue to want to seek for the Lord's will.
因为不是我做，而是主在做。
But I know that it's not I who's doing all this, but rather the Lord Himself's doing all this.
所以觉得是最重要，就像今天杜牧师所分享的。
I think the most important point is just as Pastor Du had shared.
就是以弗所书讲的。
And that is in Ephesians.
就是我们是凡事谦虚温柔忍耐。
And to be humble and meek in all things.
用爱心就是互相宽容。
And love is means that to forgive one another.
用和平彼此联络。
And to commune with each other with peace.
因为那个七个合一，主是已经赐给我们每一个人的。
Because
the seven ones.
Because the seven ones the Lord has already given us.
所以我们要竭力的保守。
So we need to strive to keep those.
Yeah, 谢谢大家。
Thank you, everyone.
弟兄姐妹啊，好
，His brothers and sisters
啊，那个啊，很喜欢听啊这个Johnny的信息，因为他说来 retreat 就是来这个安息啊，来自己可以看看有没有什么样子的这个 burden 或者什么样的服事的 dry out。
I really love the message here is that to take retreat is to receive peace, to see if there's anything you need to let go.
因为今年是我们的安息年。
And so I think this year is our sabbatical.
然后上阵子有一个弟兄从加州来也讲到安息，我说听了都很高兴。
And so, previously I think there's a brother from California who also shared on this particular topic, and I was really glad for it.
所以我今年要多参加这个退休会。
So I would like to join more of the retreats this year.
Yeah, 那个啊，我想给我们的三个这个重点要二十分钟讲完 ，Come on。不太容易，所以我就。
I think it's almost impossible to share these three highlights in just 20 minutes.
啊，第一个重点就讲到我们的这个得救啊 ，salvation 救恩的这个之前之后的生活。
And so, I think the first point is about salvation, our lives before, during, and after this point, after our salvation.
Yeah, 我不知道已经在教会受洗快二十年了，好快啊！
It's the time surely flies. Before I know it, I've been baptized for 20 years already.
啊，我是1993年受洗的。
So I was baptized in 1993.
啊，那我太太比我早一年，她1992年受洗。
And my wife was baptized one year earlier, in 1992.
啊，稍微讲一下为什么会来教会，然后为什么会这个。
So I'd like to briefly share a little bit why we come to church.
我记得我刚来美国的时候好像感觉就很兴奋，因为觉得美国好像跟台湾比起来什么都好。
I still remember when I first came to the US, I was so excited because I felt like everything's better compared to Taiwan.
后来房子买了，然后工作什么都好像感觉，后来慢慢几年以后感觉没有那么一回事，没有以前快乐耶。
And then, but afterwards, I got a job, bought a house and everything, but after a few years later,I feel like I no longer have that excitement anymore.
因为我以前在台湾乡下小时候长大，虽然房子会漏水滴水，但是好像感觉小时候很快乐。
Because when I was growing up in Taiwan, even though our house roof leaks and we have rain coming in, but I feel like as I was growing up, I have this joy in my heart.
然后下雨的时候，外面通通是水，因为没有排水沟，那通通是泥巴，然后大家跑，小孩子很快乐，就觉得小孩子很快乐。
And then during rainy seasons, because there's no drainage system, the water is just outside mixing with the mud, and kids would be playing outside in the rain, and it just feels like everyone's having good time while I was a kid.
那是想说，如果以后能够赚钱盖一个房子，就是钢筋水泥的，不会漏水，就很高兴了。那时候这样想。
And at that time, I had this thought in my head that if I could grow up, get a job, and make money, and then I'll be able to build this house out of concrete and steel, then the roof won't leak anymore, and that would be the most joyous thing.
但是那时候来美国以后，发现不是这个样子。
But after I came to US, I discovered that's not the case.
我记得我太太吵架，她跟我说。我回台湾好，你都嫌我这边没有工作，没有赚钱，我回台湾好了。
I remember there's one girl with my wife, and that she said that if you feel like I'm not getting a job or making any money, then why don't I just go back to Taiwan?
因为我们常常为了小孩子一点事，我们就会吵架。因为我说你是学教育的，小孩子都没有教好。
And oftentimes we quarrel about education for our kids, because I would tell her that you're an educator and the kids are not turning out the way we want is because you didn't teach them well.
他是念教育系，也念过当过老师，但是自己孩子，我常常看到他孩子没有教好，老师孩子这边吵架，我就觉得很 frustrated.
And because she has an education background in education, and she's also been a teacher, so I always thought that if the kids are not behaving, then it's her responsibility.
那感谢主，就是在那个啊，就是在我们来美国大概两三年 frustrated. 有一天他跟朋友去教会了啊。
Thank the Lord that after two or three years after we arrived, one day she went to church with friends.
然后呢，我就几个月，我发现他改变了，我感觉他改变了。
And in those months, I felt in the subsequent months, I felt that she changed.
所以后来他邀请我来教会，我就就开始有一点心动，就想来看看。
And so when she invited me to come to church, my heart was, I had this curiosity, just moved, I was moved, and so I went to take a look.
然后我太太都会，她很聪明，她会找我女儿晚上来跟我读啊，讲故事给她听，就找圣经的故事叫我讲。
And my wife was really smart, and so she would ask me to read stories, ask my daughter to ask me to read story to her, and the stories would be from the Bible.
那我记得我女儿都会祷告，她祷告我就很感动，因为她小孩子那么，但是很小的时候，她祷告的心里会非常感动。
And I remember that while she was very young, she already knows how to pray. And whenever she prays, I feel like my heart, inside my heart, I was very moved.
啊，所以就这样来教会。然后那时候正好是汪荣带慕道班，我跟圣元君是我们同班的同学。
And so I started to come into church to the Bible study group. I still remember Brother Wang Rong was still leading the Bible study group, and I was actually classmate, so to speak, with Brother George.
然后我们就都受洗了。
And so we all baptized together.
所以很我们很幸运，一年就受洗了，主恩待我们。
So I think we're very lucky. I think the Lord is very truly blessed us, and so we were baptized with after just 1 year.
我想那时候大概有一个啊，我是有一天在看那个《天人之间》的电视节目。
And so at the time, I was, I remember on a particular day, I was watching a program.
Between God and Man.
A TV program called Between God and Man.
啊，这个，那我就，他讲一句话，就是我听到这句话，他说呢，啊，他是，为什么会，就是说信耶稣呢，是不一样的，要先相信才能够明白。科学是先看到你才相信，
然后
我就接受这个想法。
In the program, he said, made this that really stuck into my mind. Is he said that to believe in Christ is you come to believe first, and then understanding will come later, which is the exact reverse of science, which is that you understand first and then you believe.
啊，这是寇世远牧师啊，他讲他个人的见证。
And this is a personal testimony from Pastor
寇世远，就是。
Pastor
Cole, yeah. 好，这大概讲完我怎么样会啊会来接受主啊，然后这个，那么我接受主以后的生活呢啊，稍微啊分享一下。
So that was the brief introduction into how I become a believer and accepted the Lord. So and then I'd like to give a brief sharing on my life after I have accepted the Lord.
我记得我还没有受洗之前，我大概没有参加过查经班，好像没有参加过。
I believe that before I was baptized, I have not joined any Bible study group.
我是来参加教会的啊这个慕道班，还有听主日的信息。
And so I only came to join the seekers class as well as the Sunday messages.
那我记得我来参加主日信息的时候，我听不懂，所以我都跟我太太讲，我当你的书童好了，因为我听不懂。
And so and initially when I joined this when I come to Sunday message, I couldn't understand the message, so I told my wife, I'll just be a secretary because I don't understand what they're saying.
但是呢，唱诗歌我有时候会感动，会流泪，很奇怪。
But when we sing songs, praise songs, I sometimes I would be moved to tears, so it's very strange.
所以啊，就这样子，因为神在我身上做工，所以一年就啊就这个很快就受洗。但受洗完以后，我就开始想，我是基督徒，应该参加一些查经活动啊，团契活动，这是我的责任。
And so within 1 short year, God moved me and I was baptized. And then after I was baptized, I thought to myself, since I'm baptized, I should now go join some Bible study group or something like that.
那我那时候第一次参加查经，我就觉得，哎，跟我读的真不一样，自己读以为懂，但是其实是不懂的。
And then when I joined this class, the first time I realized, wow, this is truly different because it's different from when I was reading the Bible by myself.
因为我还没有受洗之前，我喜欢读旧约，因为旧约很多故事嘛，好像很有趣。
So before I was baptized, I enjoy reading the Old Testament because there's a lot of stories and I enjoy reading them.
啊，耶稣讲的话好像差不多，大概都讲一些道理，就没有很大兴趣去读。
And then the words from Jesus seem to be pretty much the same. It's just about some lessons and stuff. So I didn't have too much interest in reading the New Testament.
但参加查经以后就真的不一样。自己感受哦，真的是不一样。所以一个小时读一章，好 好像不是浪费时间，就慢慢就很喜欢来参加查经。
But after I start joining the Bible study group, I realized, wow, this is truly different, and I feel differently now. And I've spent at least an hour reading one scripture, and I would not feel that was a waste of time.
然后另外一个，我们那时候的团契呢，哇，我觉得非常兴旺啊。要赵武是带我们这个啊 39er， 然后我们就从几个人慢慢越来越多。那时候我最享受团契的那个生活。
And I also feel like the fellowship, the life that we have is also very, there was the truth is fire going. I still remember that back then, Brother Ken was really leading the group, and we started from a very few number, and we just kept on growing, and I truly enjoyed those days.
那时候我们叫 39er, 39团契，现在已经到快六十了。
And so back then we called the 39ers because we have about 39 people, but now we have grown to about 60 some people.
So 39是39岁的年纪。
Oh, sorry.
不是39 people.
We're called 39ers because people who join are
under
39.
Yeah. 我们那时候看 49er 就觉得他们没有活力，我们就觉得他们是很差。
And back then, when we look at those people who are around 49, we feel like they don't have enough in a vigor in their life.
像我妈妈觉得真的是差很多了。
But now looking back, now that we're at this age, we feel like we're also kind of there's a big gap, the big difference.
Yeah, 我们39就从一直长到最后大人小孩加起来大概六七十个人。聚会的时候都很难装得下家庭的地方。
And we've grown and also our family also grown, and so we got to be about 60 some people, so it's really hard to pack everybody into the same space.
那时候我们还是用那个旧的教会，还没有自己的教会的时候。
And back then we're still at the Aldersgate Church. We haven't had this new building yet.
好，那我讲一下我信主以后的这个大概分几个阶段好了。第一个阶段就是前面的三到四年的这个时间。
And so let me would like to share a little bit about my life after I become after I was baptized. So there are several stages. The first one is about 3 or 4 years after I was baptized.
我觉得第一个三到四年好像都很喜乐，好像没有什么不喜乐，每次来教会很喜乐，啊，活动也很喜乐，好像什么都很喜乐，没有什么样不快乐的。
And I feel in those 3 to 4 years, I feel everything that we did, I have joy. Anything that's related to church activity, my heart is filled with joy.
我是跟瓦里弟兄是做招待，所以好像看到人就笑就对了嘛。
So by the time I was working with Brother Wally and as usher, we're working as ushers, it seems like anyone we see will just have a smile on their face, and that's all we need to do.
我们现在招待比较简单，那时候招待还要搬圣经，记不记得？还要搬圣经，搬诗歌本。对吧，搬过来到这个前面桌子，然后完了以后还要把它搬回去。
So right now, being the job of the usher is a lot easier. Back then, I still remember that being an usher it also means that in addition to greeting people, you also need to move the chairs or move the Bibles, bring them up, and then afterwards you have to pack the Bible away again.
但是从来没有感觉说好像是一种负担，就是很快乐。
But I never felt that was a burden. I just felt it was such joy.
但是呢，在第二个阶段的三到四年呢，好像就奇怪了，就是有时候我跟我太太吵架，有时候会服侍会心里不高兴，就很奇怪，慢慢的就有一点好像服侍上没有那么快乐了。
And then, but then comes to the second, 3 to 4 year stage where things got a little bit strange because, for example, I would then again be quarreling with my arguing with my wife, or there would be times when I serve and I would not have that joy in my heart.
有时候是跟我太太吵架的时候就没办法，她就强迫我要跪下来跟她一起祷告。
And then when I argue with my wife, got to a point that we can't move anymore forward, so she forced me to kneel down and we pray together.
祷告完以后，当然就只有像那个杜牧师说的，就慢慢的你心里就可以释放，然后慢慢就有喜乐回来。
And then after we pray, then just as Pastor Toto has mentioned that you feel this release and then the joy returns again.
所以现在想起来真的是这是一个经历，真的经过这样子会发现好像感情会更好，就是两个人祷告完以后呢那么和好，会更好的那种感情，慢慢可以经历到。
And we truly have this amazing, wonderful experience, which is that when you pray together, and afterwards, the your interpersonal relationship between you and your spouse has gotten closer.
然后慢慢对信息讲的那些十字架的 道理慢慢开始有一点领会，就在第二阶段是开始慢慢想这些东西，好像有点 make sense.
And this was also during the second stage where I started to think about the messages about the cross. And I would start to think about these kind of things.
啊，那时候也开始慢慢就比较多的服事啊的学习，有探访啦，有去看那个啊出现的啊，都比较多的这个操练学习。
And then it's also during this time that I started doing more, joining more services, such as visitation and doing other services as well. All started during the second stage.
那第三个阶段大概是也差不多三到五年，那开始就有参加这个教会，那时候有一个叫门徒培训班。
And then so during the third stage, which is the third 3 to 5 years after the previous second stage, then I started to join more of these
discipleship.
I started joining this discipleship class.
大概是两年左右的时间。
And the class took about 2 years.
啊，我是大概是第二期吧。第一期是赵武他们是第一期，我们是第二期，我跟盛仁坚他们是第二期的。
So I believe Brother George and I were on the second group of people who graduated. Brother Ken was the was one of the first group.
Yeah, 我还觉得还不够资格，所以第一期我还不敢参加。
So because when the first one came out, I felt like I'm not good enough, so I didn't dare to join it.
我觉得中间呢，这几年呢，有一个很好的就是。我那时候儿子跟女儿都是在啊 Bellevue Christian School 念书，比较远一点，所以我们早上都要送他们去学校上课。
So during this time, both my son and daughter they went to Bellevue Christian School, which is a little bit further, so I need to get up early to take them to school.
我们都差不多七点多出发，然后到学校还没八点钟之前就到学校。
And then so we'll set out at about 7 o'clock, and by the time that we get to the school, it's a little bit before 8.
然后我们就是因为我们公司在 Microsoft 没有人那么早上班的。
And because we work at Microsoft, so nobody works at early.
因为工程师都是9点到10点才到的。
Because most programmers arrive there about 9 or 10.
那你就到公司去，你就开始弄电脑，你就没有时间了，就是很习惯嘛，人的习惯动作，到公司就上班。
And so if I go to Microsoft straight away, then I'll immediately start working away on my computer, and there will be no time because that's just a habit of programmers.
所以我通常都不要进去，在车子上就开始读圣经，读超一个钟头。
And so usually I don't go into the office that early. I would stay in the car and read the Bible for an hour.
啊，每次写一写，有时候会自己写一些那个重点，那就觉得说那时候非常的好，很渴慕，就是好像一个海绵一样，就是很会吸水。所以那个时候呢，我觉得读圣经真是很高兴，每天就至少读一个钟头圣经，非常高兴。
And so I still remember that time fondly because it's such a wonderful time. I'll be reading it and I'll taking notes by myself, highlighting, taking highlights and things like that. And I would be soaking up all these things like a sponge. I just remember that time fondly. It's such a wonderful time.
然后参加培训班的时候，门徒培训班是从七点多到晚上九点多嘛。
And then when I joined the discipleship training, the class starts at from 7 o'clock at night, goes into about 9 o'clock.
就是每个礼拜有一次的这个时间。
And that was once per week.
那我都是不回家，从上班办公室，然后晚一点，然后就直接回来，免得还要跑回家到 Raymond， 然后再来，很麻烦。我就是不回家，但是呢，不会觉得就觉得很高兴、很喜乐，不会觉得说好像是。一个重担感觉。
And so because the where I live in Raymond, so I don't want to go back home after work and then all come drive out again to start. So I would just come to the class straight from right after work. And even then, I wouldn't feel like this was a burden. But rather I have joy in my heart.
我觉得在门徒培训班让我学到很多，因为我们有读一本书叫《正常基督徒的生活》。
And during the discipleship class, I remember we learned a lot. One of the books that we read is A Normal Day Life of a Christian.
Normal
Christian Life.
The book is called Normal Christian Life. 然后就我就第一次就学到说，哦，原来我们属灵生活要进步。他讲到一个就是不但知道我们是与主同时啊，我们与主同活，而且第一个就是我们要奉献给义的当奴仆。我们以前是奉献给罪的当奴仆，以至于死。现在我们要献给义的当奴仆奉献，这是第一步的生活。那我才那时候才开始慢慢的懂得 Romans chapter 6.
And so while I was reading the book, I come to understanding that to grow spiritually, not only do we die and resurrect with our Lord, but rather also the first step is to offer ourselves as a slave to righteousness, to serving righteousness, whereas before we were slaves to the world.
所以我就慢慢的自己就有个领会，那我就开始想说啊，怎么奉献呢？当然就奉献时间、金钱啊，就开始操练。所以我就对于这个啊属灵的这个生活，好像就觉得慢慢有点起步的那种感觉啊，自己就觉得可以走上这个啊操练的生活。
And so I started to learn how to live this life, how can I offer myself? Of course, that involves naturally time and money, and also so I started on this journey to the learning journey, spiritual journey.
我们在查经班的时候常常会有这种问题，就是看到以色列人在旧约时代神怎么样拯救他们，行神迹啦，用人很少就可以把敌人很多打败啦。啊，祷告，那么神就做工啦，等等之类的。我们就说，哇，他们的信心操练非常的棒，他们有这样的环境。
And so, oftentimes when we read about the Israelites in Old Testament times, how they there are so many miracles that happened, where God helped them to defeat great enemies when they have so few in numbers. We feel like, wow, the Israelites really have this good opportunity to train. To exercise their faith, to because they have this surrounding, because they have these circumstances for them to exercise that.
那我们就常问说，今天我们怎么操练？好像美国的生活都很好，我们不用求神，我们每天生活都可以自己搞定了，好像我们就觉得没有什么操练信心的生活。
And then, but then we feel like.What about us today? It feels like living in the U.S., our lives are so stable and so peaceful that we really don't have this opportunity to exercise our faith. So how can we exercise our faith?
So I 常常就比较愿意分享，就是说，其实圣经里面已经教导我们了，主在啊。新约里面已经有很明白的教训我们说把自己奉献上去。
And then the passage I often like to share with people is that in the New Testament, God has already instructed how to do so, and that is to offer ourselves completely out.
那你愿意把你的时间、把你的钱的一部分奉献给神吗
？So are you willing to offer your part of your time and part of your money to God?
这是我们信心操练的一个。很重要一步就是我们如果愿意的话，那你信心就可以成长。
And so this is part of a training of our spiritual faith, of our faith. And if you're willing to do so, if you're willing to offer those things up, then your faith will grow.
好，这是我讲到的这个得救以后的大概的生活情况。
And so that's the brief overview of my life after I was saved.
好，我讲最后一个，就是在服事上的一个试炼，或者是挫折，怎么样子能够克服。
And the last thing I'd like to share with everyone is to how to overcome the downtimes, the failures that you may encounter while you're serving.
我们在台湾这个带领孩子大概五年的时间，跟我太太带领儿童福音大概五年的时间。
So my wife and I have been working on this children children ministry in Taiwan for about 5 years now.
所以我就你就带过孩子，你就知道那个的你要学习的功课有很多的。
So if you ever led a group of children, you know that there's a lot of lesson to be learned with leading children.
我有时候是很高兴看到他们唱歌很快乐，他们很听话，很高兴。但是当他们像小魔鬼的时候，你真的是。
So when they're good, when they're singing songs or listening to you, when everything's going great, your heart will be full of joy. But then when they're behaving like little demons, it does kind of put a damper on things.
他们在你面前呢，两个人就打起来。
And they could start fights right before in front of you.
所以很多时候就是很没有耐心，真的是很没有耐心。到最后也想说，那我为什么教你们这样子，还这样子？所以有的时候真的是会很大的这个灰心。
And a lot of times you feel your patience running extremely thin because you think to yourself, I've taught these people, I've taught them how not to do that, but why do they keep doing that? And so you feel discouraged.
那就是 就是所谓今天讲的，就是耐心跟爱心的这个服侍，真的很不容易。尤其你自己一个人的时候，真的很难。
And so this is what we talk about the service of patience and love, especially when you're working alone. It's not easy.
所以我也是拿那个小棍子，就是小棍子呢，也不是棍子，就是也是黑板上要就是打小孩子，因为你忍耐不住了，他们实在是调皮到一个地步。有时候会打他们一下，那自己就觉得很亏欠，就马上在神面前就我就觉得实在是很亏欠。
And sometimes it got to a point where I couldn't stand anymore, and I would use these pointing sticks that I used to point on the blackboard and use them to give them a little whack. But then immediately afterwards, I would feel really bad and pray to the Lord.
有一次就是打这个桌子，因为他们都很吵嘛，不听话。都没有在听我的讲话，就打这个桌子，就把那个打断了。
There's this one time where they were being so noisy and not listening to me. I whacked a stick on the desk, but I whacked so hard that the stick actually broke.
因为我们有打苍蝇的，你们有看过打苍蝇那拍子吗
？And also we have these fly whacking sticks.
对啊，打那段，就是自己觉得实在是很不容易，就是你是知道我们的样子，就是圣经让你看到，真的是就自己知道自己的样子。本来是好好的时候你不感觉，但是在那个时候就看到自己的样子。
And it's during this time that allows you to truly see who you really are, because normally when things are going great, you won't notice it.
那另外一个就是人跟人之间的冲突啊，怎么样子来学习操练？我想我在执事会有很多年学习。的确是感受到这个是不容易。
And I also learned about how to deal with the interpersonal relationship and also the conflict you experience with different people. And during the years when I served on the Deacon's Board, I truly felt learned this lesson.
那么最近几年，我比较会去想这个，就是不一样的啊，人跟人之间不一样。就是我们如果一群人，每个人都意见一样的话。跟不一样意见，这有什么差别？我就开始会想这些问题。
And so, and then recently, within recent years, I would start to ponder and wonder about situations where what's the difference between situations where when everyone agrees to the same thing versus when everyone have their own opinion about something.
因为我们今天也在分组讨论，我就稍微讲了一下，就是我们不一样的意见常常会导致。就是不合意，这是我们人很容易的，因为你跟我意见不一样，那久之我们就慢慢不能合意的，这是我们人的天然的这个想法。
And so something I share with the small group today, and I'd like to share here is that when you have people who are of the different thinking with you, and eventually over time you'll feel this rift between the two, because that's just natural. Because when you don't think the same way as the other person, it's natural to feel that rift.
我举个例子，我太太她对于我们在开车过去的马路如果有设红绿灯的那个超速的照相，或者是闯红灯的照相，他就会比较紧张。
And for example, on our way over here, my wife would get very nervous whenever there's a path of the road where there are these speed cameras.
他就跟我讲说，我们不要走这个路哈，这个有照相。
And so she would tell me that let's not take this path because there's speed camera here.
因为我也被照相过200块，我被罚过200块。
Because I myself been caught on speed cameras and was fined $200.
然后他就跟我讲，不要走这个路，因为这个很不好。
So she told me not to walk, not to drive that path anymore.
但是我想法不一样，我说，哦 ，no 不，这个有照相的话，表示大家都要小心，所以会比较安全。
But I feel it differently because I felt that because there's speed camera, everyone's careful, so that path of the road should be safer.
我宁可一年交200块，但是比较安全。
But I'd rather pay $200 a year and to drive on the safer road.
所以你看，真的我们两个不同意见，但我就会开始想，哎，我如果像他一样。大家都这样想，哦，这个照相我们不要走。其实这个是反而不好，对不对？所以我就会想说，其实意见不一样，有些时候是好的。
And so, but then I also realized that if everyone to think like her and feels like then everyone wouldn't be driving on that road with the speed camera. So I realized that there's this difference.
我太太如果 有请客请朋友来，不是说很重要的客人，就一般的朋友来，她就会有点紧张，房子大概到处去清扫一下。
And another example, for example, like when my wife has friends over, they may not be not just friends, just for casual coming over. Even then, she would get very nervous and want to make sure the house is tidied up and cleaned up.
那我就说，哎呀，这普通朋友没有关系，又不是重要客人，无所谓的。
I would tell her that don't worry about it, just casual friends. It's not be important.
然后如果有贵客来，我们再清。像这个普通朋友算了，不要清了。
It would be different if you have very important people coming over, but casual friends should be okay.
那但是呢，后来慢慢想，哎，有道理，因为这样子偶尔可以清一下，房子可以清得更干净一点。
But then I start thinking maybe there is some good to it, because then that'll give us an excuse to actually do some regular cleaning.
所以你看，我这个懒惰惰性就是想，不要清算了，他就说稍微清一下。所以这个两个不一样意见，其实很好的，因为他的做法是很好的。偶尔可以清一下房子。
So for me, for my just kind of lazy nature, I don't want to clean anything, but she wanted to clean. But come to think about it, I think it's good that we get to clean the house on a regular basis.
Yeah, 所以我想大概时间也超过了，我就。
So I think I went over my time, so I'd like to stop here.
好，谢谢。
Thank you. So we like to go to your house often.
你听见不同的弟兄姊妹在教会中的成长。
So when you hear these different sharings of different brothers and sisters and how they have grown in church,
你会发现我们其实是很相似的。
And you discover that we're actually very much alike.
我们都经过同样的路，同样的学习。
We went through the same path. We studied the same thing.
但是最后你会发现，主在我们这个漫长的过程中，就改变了我们这个人。
But eventually, you discover that during this lengthy path, the Lord has changed us as a person.
所以我们能够在一起这么多年，实在是主宝贵的恩典。
So that we can come together all these years and still come together all these years, truly, it's a blessing from the Lord.
本来还有第三位，但是我们时间已经到了。
But originally we have a third speaker, but our time's up.
也是一样，我们就把这个弟兄的见证放到夏令会里。
So in the same way, we'll reserve this brother's testimony until the summer retreat.
对，我们七月会有自己教会的夏令会。
And in July we'll have our own summer retreat.